cut your d- off for a Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Oh, boy.
I had to cut my d- off, honey. We're going to win a Super Bowl. She'd be like, all right. Would she be upset?
She'd probably be on board.
She would be like, do you want me to do it?
Dale Arnold.
How you doing, Mr. Dale?
Don't even say what it is because you're going to bother people, just say Boiler Dale's back.
Rich Keefe.
Did
you really? See, he is what baseball needs.
We need Sean.
He would be the biggest star in Major League Baseball.
Dale and Keefe, middays. The boys
are back in town. Let's get it on.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Go away for a couple of days.
Dale?
Everything changes.
What have you done? But you take one vacation, we lose our producer and our morning show.
By the way,
both out.
A quick interjection about the producer, and then we'll talk about the morning show.
Yeah.
So, the last day that I'm here.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, he's leaving the following Wednesday, and I'm going to be on vacation.
Yeah.
So I pack up my stuff in here. I go out in the hall. I go, where's Jason? They said he left.
Why is he going to stick around?
He just...
2 o'clock on.
Jason, wait!
He hates goodbyes.
That's what I've heard.
He hates goodbyes.
Tell that.
Yeah. People get emotional with radio goodbyes. You got to be real careful. You got to get real careful about that.
Allergies kick in.
Oh, pollen count, Dale. My deck is covered in pollen.
Well, stuff happens.
Yeah.
I got a phone call Friday afternoon. And by the way, nice to be back. Nice to have my dad back. We'll talk about other stuff in just a minute. But Friday afternoon, my wife and I were driving from Brunswick, Maine to the Mount Washington Hotel where we were going to wrap up our vacation.
Which is haunted, by the way, as you know.
In places.
Yes.
So we're driving through the White Mountains. We're listening to satellite radio. I haven't been on social media all day.
Oh, what a treat.
I don't know anything about what was going on here. And I get a phone call.
First of all, surprised you were able to get a phone call in the White Mountains. You must have really good coverage.
It's funny you should say that. I just changed my cell phone carrier.
So you really got something there if you're getting calls up in the great White North.
So I get a phone call.
Yeah.
And the phone call was basically to tell me about what had happened here. And the gist of the phone call was, you know, you've probably already heard. And I said, No.
Let's pretend I didn't.
No,
yeah. Why don't you tell me because I haven't?
Because I didn't.
Right.
So I didn't know, and I was told that there was going to be a change in the morning show here. That Jerry's contract was not going to be renewed. I guess it was up the 1st of September or somewhere around there. It was not going to be renewed. That Mutt was going to move back to nights, and that Greg Hill was going to move the morning show from AAF into the morning slot here at EEI. Literally, the first I heard of it was driving to Bretton Woods, New Hampshire.
Nice little mountain. Not steep enough for me. I'm an elite skier, but it is a nice little mountain.
Saw some in California that you might want to try out.
Try those.
Oh, yeah.
You head out there.
Squaw Valley and places like that.
Yeah.
So, needless to say, I was a bit shocked.
Sure.
Did not have any I didn't even know Jerry's contract was up.
I had no idea.
By the way, it's none of my damn business.
I was gonna say there's no like hoops hype website like there is for basketball contracts. I don't know what everybody's contract is in radio.
And
I
prefer it that way.
I think it's probably for the best.
I did not know. I didn't know that his contract was coming up. I didn't know that I heard the guys this morning say that they had been negotiating. I didn't know that. I didn't know any of that stuff
right
until I found out Friday afternoon that Jerry was not going to be brought back. Shocked is probably the proper word because I had no idea that they were at that state. Sad because he and I have been friends for over 20 years. We've been radio colleagues. I know he was here for 22 years. I had a little gap in there where I wasn't here quite as often.
Vacation
fill-ins and weekends and stuff.
Yeah, what you're saying is Jerry will be back if he goes
the
Dale and Glenn route.
I got fired and brought back.
Right.
Glenn got fired and brought back. The old wrestling term is never say never, I guess.
I would say
who knows?
Right.
What I do know is that while Jerry and I differed fairly dramatically in some political arenas. We didn't agree on every little philosophical thing. Mm-hmm. We didn't always agree necessarily on how to properly do radio. He and John first and then Kirk later did it great. And who's to say they were wrong? And I was right because, what they did was really successful.
Right.
Despite our differences, I think we were friends and I think we're still friends. I am sorry to see a colleague go. Me, maybe more than anybody but Glenn on this station, understands that there's a rather empty feeling when you're of a certain age and mm-hmm. you're wondering about, you know, am I going to be able to find work going forward? It sucks. And it sucked for me. I'm sure it sucked for Glenn. And I'm sure it's not pleasant for Jerry right now. I know how talented he is. I know the word I like to use is footprint. I know the footprint that he's had in this town. Starting, well, with the Lowell Sun and then the Boston Herald and Sports Illustrated. And here, he's got a massive sports footprint in this town, which I wouldn't be surprised if you see him again. I'll be shocked if you don't see or hear from him again in one way, shape, or form.
Right.
He's that talented.
So.
He's that good. I think that, you know, management here decided, in the same way they decided with me, changes have got to be made. Well, sometimes those changes work. Sometimes they don't work. But I do know this. I have nothing but admiration and friendship for Jerry Callahan, and I have nothing but sincere wishes that whatever happens from this point forward is a positive step for he and his wife and his kids.
I think the impact that he has had on the city is pretty remarkable, and it's guys like you, Dale, and Glenn, and Jerry, who were on the radio or were writing or both prior to all of the teams being really good. And I think there's a lot of us that look at it where sports in Boston started in 2001. You know, right? Like that when the Patriots got good, like it's almost, you have a hard time because it's been so long to remember when the Patriots were terrible or when the Red Sox, the idea of the Red Sox winning the World Series was a joke or the Celtics and the Bruins had struggled. And all of you guys were doing this then. And then you were still on the air. You were the voices that we were all used to as the teams got really good. Even the popularity in sports radio went up and up, and he was there. And for him to be morning drive in Boston for two decades is absolutely remarkable. And, you know, I don't know what's next. I don't know how much longer he wanted to do it or anything like that. But when you don't get to go out on your own terms, that part is tough. That is a shame. But it really shouldn't. You know, it shouldn't be the main focus for what was a great career that he had on the air.
And I think that he has a huge fan base for obvious reasons.
Oh, yeah, of course.
People in this town love listening to him. They love the work that he did on the radio. I think that he has a gigantic fan base that will follow him wherever he goes.
Right.
Wherever he ends up going from this point on, he'll
Fox
be there.
News, maybe.
Look,
could be.
You never say never, as we said, right?
I could see him popping up Fox News maybe this afternoon. You never know.
I would not be shocked if that happened. Now, it's interesting because I said Jerry's got a very loyal fan base, and he does. And God love him. I think that's great. Some of that fan base was reaching out to me.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
They got after you a little bit?
Well, and one
were
of
they didn't realize that you were in the White Mountains and you couldn't respond
well,
right away?
One of the things I heard, because when I finally tweeted out about it Saturday morning.
Right.
God
forbid you wait a minute.
Well, yeah. and evidently my response was too tepid for some. And basically what some people, one in particular, said, you know, if you had any guts at all,
I'm cleaning
it up.
Yeah.
You know, you'd walk out on Monday.
Excuse me?
As the one response I did respond to the guy, I said, as you would do at your job, right?
You just bail. Yeah. Your friend loses his job and you have to...
Gotta go.
I don't have a family to support. I'll just leave. Like what?
Yeah.
I don't know if it really works that way.
And I'll point out this is not directed at Jerry in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
I'll point out that when I got fired, nobody walked out of here.
I thought the station shut down.
No.
Everybody didn't get up and leave.
When Glenn got fired, nobody walked out.
Why do we pick this business?
What's the point?
What is this?
So the fact that I didn't walk out today is no indication that I have any less admiration for Jerry or appreciation for his talents or our friendship is any less. None of that changes for me, even though I didn't walk out this morning.
Well, and guess what? If Dale and I walked out tomorrow, they'd have a new midday show.
Yes.
They wouldn't be begging us back. Shime and Bridget would take this thing over tomorrow.
And
as they say in theater, the show must go on.
That's correct. A lot of Fortnite
Shime's
talk.
Shime's already, already advocating for taking over our gig.
We can't, you know, play the nostalgia bit. We got to just keep rolling. People want to talk sports.
So I thought the guys this morning did a great job, you know, kind of encapsulating Jerry's career and, yep. and especially, you know, this part of it, the radio part of it, as opposed to the Herald and the and Sports Illustrated. We're not going to spend the next 4 hours redoing what they've already done this morning. I wanted to at least address it, and I know you wanted to say your piece as well. I just wish the guy well.
I wish Jerry well. I also I do feel bad for Mutt in a way, and because I can relate to it. Like it's a similar thing where you get moved to time slots. You still have your job, so it's a range of emotions because you're thrilled that you still have your job because you know that at any moment you could be gone. Like that's just the way the business is. It's very very competitive. A lot of people want these jobs. There's so much that goes into it, whether it's ratings, revenue, all of it added up together. And so he's still here, which is great, but he's not in morning drive anymore. He's going to be doing nights, which I also think is good for the station. We haven't had a night show since Mutt left, and that's been, what, 8 or 9 months? And he was actually doing so much with the morning show even prior to that, that I think, you know, hopefully this makes the station stronger in the long run. I think in the immediate aftermath, you know, people are going to be pretty upset about what happened. And a guy that they listen to every morning for 20-something years is gone, so there's going to be an adjustment. But as for Mutt, glad that he's still here and hopefully takes back, you know, the night spot and does well with that.
Again, I probably have as much appreciation for how Mutt feels as anybody.
Yeah.
Because when the hammer dropped on me, what they basically said was, what we want you to do is vacation fill-ins and weekends. And
right.
that wasn't exactly, you know, how I envisioned my career going forward. But I had a wife.
Correct.
And I had kids.
Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing.
And I didn't have another option immediately.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes you have to do things that you don't necessarily think is in your best interest. But in the long run, it ends up being in your best interest.
Because as radio guys, we don't have a lot of other skills. And you could even argue that maybe radio is not even one of those skills. But if you are offered a job within radio, you need to hang on to it. So, again, I hope he does well. I thought he did a great job with the night show before, and I'm sure he will when that starts up again.
So we started out by saying anything different, anything going on in your life while I was gone?
No. Oh, there's a kid in my house now. I have a brand new, a fresh new kid. She is 2.5 weeks old.
I got to announce it on the air. Last day I got to announce that Cecilia had joined us.
Right. So Cecilia is here. Jason Rossi is gone. So with one new life,
one door opens, another door closes.
It's the circle of life. I believe that's a Lion King
song.
Sure,
I would equate the birth of a child with the departure of a producer, but I like how you've tried to...
pretty significant moments in my life, Dale.
Tie it all together.
No, but
good for you.
Things are going well. You know, sleeping-ish. You know, doing what we can. Learning on the fly. But it's been good so far.
Everybody's doing well.
Everybody's doing great.
Because there was that whole, you know, he was standing here staring at his phone for much of the last week.
Oh, I'm glad that's over. That last week was for the birds.
Waiting for a buzz.
Didn't know when it was going to be.
Somebody open the gate.
No, a nice drive into the hospital at 2:30 in the morning on
Is
Thursday.
That what it was?
Yeah, that was nice. That was good.
And it was one of those, Rich, wake up.
Well, no, it was one of those, like, she's up, she's about, and then I'm like, I'm ready to go at any point. So I'm like, is it now? She's like, no, relax. I'm like, okay.
Come on.
Relax. Oh, yeah, I'll be able to relax. I'll be able to relax right now. My life's not going to change forever at this moment, so I'll just relax. And then, like, a few minutes later, she's like, no, I think we need to go to the hospital. I was like, okay, here we go. Let's go, pack up. And then we went, and then the next thing you know, we now have a 3-person family.
It happens quick. Well, you have a dog, too.
And a dog, yeah. Well, 3-person,
how,
4-person.
How's the dog handling?
Great.
So far, so good?
Absolutely loves her. So when we first got home...
Maybe like, okay, you could love her less now.
Yes, there could be some loving less. When we first got home, my wife was nervous because the dog also hadn't seen us for a couple of days because we were at the hospital. So he was so jazzed up to see us. He saw her in the car seat, and he basically wanted to, like, get in the car seat with her.
Oh,
and we're like,
no.
You gotta back off. So my wife was a little nervous about that, but he has since gotten really used to it. And like if she's sitting in like a little swing or something, he'll go over and just like, you know, give her a quick lick and then just like walk away. And he just like sees her.
Sneaks make sure, a quick lick on
quick
the cheek.
Like, nothing to do. And then he walks away. He's like, see, just making sure she's there. So no, they've been great together. So that's good.
Mom's doing well.
Mom's good. Not at work. I know she worked right up until the minute.
A little shocked.
She did not go back to work.
I'm shocked that she...
Nope, she went right up
to
the finish
line.
Didn't go
back the day after.
I think she worked the day before that she went in there, but no, she's off for a couple
months. So much so that her co-employees are saying, could you maybe leave now?
Like, please, you're making us nervous. You're making us real nervous.
Could you just go home? And
so, no, she is home. She doesn't really rest. That's not really what she does. She's walking around and everything else, but she is home for, I think, a couple of months, so it'll be good.
I did point out to you, you know, before this happened, sleep is overrated.
Oh, yeah, you're not really getting a ton of that.
No, not
a ton of that.
That's probably not quite what you remember.
No, yeah, but you're still working on adrenaline, too, because at least at this point, because it's still so new, so it hasn't been terrible. I hit my breaking point a couple of times, but we were able to, you know, trade off a little bit and get as much sleep as possible anyway.
Family help? Usually that happens. Yes. Usually like a mom comes in and spends a couple of days or a mother-in-law.
So her parents, her mom stayed for a couple of days after and they're actually coming back. And then, but they live further away than my parents. So my mom has been back and forth a few times too. So the more help, the merrier. I'll take it.
I saw the first picture.
Yes.
I'm happy to say she looks a lot like your wife, who I've never met.
Yes.
Because she doesn't look like you.
Because she is adorable, Dale.
Yes.
That is why. She is very, very cute.
The cutest baby.
Full head of hair.
Ever.
Full head of hair. Ready to go. Came ready. The longest eyelashes you've ever seen in your life. Yep. She's a little beauty queen.
So how did you... I've got to ask, because we talked about it before.
Sure.
How did you handle the actual arrival, the moment of truth?
So I stayed up by my wife's head.
Didn't go further than the nose? That was
I was up there. That was the advice that I got, and I took it. I did one peek, and then right back.
No. Oh, no! No!
What are you doing? Get out of there! No, I stayed up there. It was all pretty crazy. My wife actually did think I was going to pass out when I came walking in with like the scrubs on, like the little mask. She was like, "You didn't look very good." I was like, "I was fine. I was fine.
I was doing well.
I kept it together. I was able to walk in without anybody holding me up." And then I sat down, and then we were in there for however long, and then that was it. And I was able to never once pass out. I didn't have to get into like a little bed next to her or anything
like that.
I was waiting for them to have to give me CPR. None of that happened. It was all good.
Good for you.
Yes.
We were a little concerned about...
I was concerned.
Well, that's...
You should be
I
concerned.
Said we.
It was terrifying.
Mainly you. I wasn't going to be there. It didn't matter to me. But
I was terrified.
I was worried that you were going to go rubber side up in the middle of this whole thing.
All good. Best place to do that, though, of course, would be the hospital.
Oh, they got lots of help there.
A million doctors in there, nurses, the whole thing, so... All good.
So we've managed to touch on, you know, the stuff that happened while I was gone.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we probably have to drag it back to the things that are happening even now, including last night at Fenway Park.
What is going on with your Boston Red Sox, Dale? Who, by the way, you'll be on the call tonight.
I will.
You're back at
the
Fenway
next four
Park.
Nights.
Good. Good.
I think I read, I'm pretty sure Rob wrote it, Rob Bradford on WEEI.com, and
yes.
I think he hit the nail on the head. This team has no chance. If Chris Sale pitches the way Chris Sale is pitching this year.
100% right.
No chance. Oh. I mean, no disrespect meant to David Price, and who gutted, 112 pitches last night through five innings. But, you know, all right.
Could use a little more.
Maybe get beyond the fifth.
Yeah.
But unless Chris Sale figures it out and got no indication that's going to happen.
Yeah. No, you don't. And it's amazing because the team's not winning a lot of home games. Chris Sale certainly isn't winning home games. Chris Sale's not winning any games. He's made 19 starts. He himself just has 3 wins on the year. And we have now seen 3 straight games. Because there were also some buried in there where he wasn't getting the wins, but he was pitching well. And it was just one of those times where the offense
runs,
wasn't winning for him.
Right.
And that always happens. There's always a team or there's always one pitcher every year that just seems to get screwed on the run support. And you're like, well, maybe it's going to be him. But the last 3 starts, he's given up 5 earned runs in each one of those starts. And this most recent one on Saturday, he can't even get through the 5th inning. And it has just been a disaster. Because my big fear, and you remember we talked about this when he signed the extension. My big fear for him was what does he look like August, September? I didn't think there was going to be any issue between April and July. I thought he was going to be just fine. I thought he was going to be an all-star again. I thought all of this. I was waiting for the breakdown, and now it doesn't look right. And I know he piled up some big strikeout numbers, you know, over some of these starts, you know, last month. But it's the guy's not right. A 4.27 ERA for Chris Sale. Something is up.
He is and has been one of the premier pitchers in Major League Baseball. He's about the 4th best pitcher on his team right now.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. You know, and you don't really know what you're getting from him either, because he put together a couple of good starts in a row, and then now he's kind of fallen back. And I know they got Andrew Cashner. We can get into that later on.
Thank God.
Thank God. Whew, what a relief. But it's not really the fifth starter that concerns me as much as those top couple of guys. Like, those guys need to go out there. And one of the reasons why they really didn't have any losing streaks to speak of last year was because you knew every fifth day, here comes Chris Sale. And there's a good, I think he made 27 starts and the team won 18 of those games. So you had 18 wins with Chris Sale. What do you have now? Like four or five, something like that. Like, that is
suboptimal, Rich.
That's not going to get it done.
No,
not for this team. And when you're chasing, obviously the division's done, but the wild card teams that you're chasing are also pretty good teams. Like, you might not have heard of every player on Tampa or Oakland, and even Cleveland, but there's some pretty good teams. So they got their work cut out for them here in the second half.
So Toronto comes to town starting tonight for four, and then we'll see where. The question, I guess, at this point for Dave Dombrowski, and I know that he was a buyer, theoretically,
for the
pitcher from Baltimore.
Yeah,
but
Andrew Cashner.
You know, as you get closer to the trade deadline a couple of weeks from now, does this team become buyers or sellers?
What I really hope that they don't become, and I guess you can already say they made one move with Cashner, but it is pick a direction. Pick a direction. I was talking with Shime about this when I walked in today. Was if they do nothing, that's even worse. Like, at least commit to something. Yeah. Say, you know what, we're going in, or say, you know what, we're going to completely restock the farm system. We're going to try to do what, I don't know, what the Yankees did a few years ago, where they weren't terrible for a while, but they sort of restocked. They traded away some of their assets, and they were able to get some studs, some young studs in there. Maybe that's what you have to do. You can't just say, well, Nathan Eovaldi's coming back, and he's our acquisition. No, that's not good enough.
I'm not even sure Nathan Eovaldi should be in the role they're about to put him in.
That's another good question.
Coming off a couple of shoulder elbow surgeries, This may not work out so well.
No.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We are back together again for however long it lasts. I mean, you know, it's a transient business.
That's right.
But we're back together again today, and we have new people. Well, one new person on the other side of the glass. And
that's right.
We're working on all of this stuff right now. We're working through this together.
We'll get there.
Nice to have you here, Bridget. Thank you.
Yep.
She's sort of sitting over there, and
you know, Bridget
sitting
was producing the Red Sox game last night.
So yeah, got to bed about 2:30 this morning.
Got home at 2:30 this morning.
Oh, got home at 2:30.
Did you ever think about just staying here?
There's rats here sometimes. So
what? We have rats?
Wait a minute.
We have rats?
Oh, I stopped.
All right. The show's over.
Wait a minute.
My very first shift in this new building, I automatic started my car and a big rat ran out from under my car and right at me.
A rat ran at you?
We have attack rats?
First day here. It was traumatizing.
No. Is this like the attack squirrel that we talked about on Kiefer Madness?
This is like the attack squirrel, but it maybe he's all on meth.
Somebody's breeding them.
The rat's all hopped up on meth, potentially.
So,
Just
to clear this up, Bridget, we haven't actually seen them in the building, though, right?
Not in the building.
Oh, okay. Out there.
I've seen them like three times outside.
Wait,
in the parking lot.
Three times now? What?
Yeah. Yep.
Well,
and she keeps coming back to work here?
You know, yeah.
One might do it for me.
Yeah, that's probably plenty.
Holy cow.
Well, that's good to
know. We buried the lead. There are rats in the building.
Yeah. Forget everything else we just said.
No wonder Zolak left, for God's sakes.
Rats.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Rich has got trending.
This is the godfather of Boston sports, Dale.
Dale, you are the greatest. I believe you are the godfather of WEEI, and it is a pleasure to me speaking to you.
And Keith.
Call and speak to the godfather, Dean.
Dale's, the godfather's here. Yeah,
sorry. Yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
Good. I have the right number.
Yeah.
On Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Yeah, we should be fine. I think everything started with the rotation. We know that. We do feel that these guys are going to give us a chance to win, go deep into the game. And I think with Nate in the mix and JT's throwing the ball, a heater, building back up, we have enough arms to finish the job.
Now, let me just say this, okay? I'm not sure that if you're the manager of the team, you have much choice to say something along those lines.
Right, and he was kind of asked about it. Right, sort of like,
it wasn't like he was offering it up. No, don't you worry.
Let me start out by saying we're good to go here. So I guess you kind of have to say that. But
I mean, what are you going to say? We are screwed.
We're goosed and porked.
We were actually
going over it before the game today, and we realized that we are both goosed and porked. And I just think that Andrew Kastner coming in, fine. Like, that's a minor move.
As somebody pointed out on the text machine, he does have a third of the Orioles' wins this year.
Really? Good for him. Good for him. And maybe he'll come in here and you know, winning environment, although I don't even know if it's that anymore.
I mean, he's
turned things around.
He's coming in as the number five starter. Good.
It's a
good
move. It's a whatever move.
Absolutely.
It's
no problem with it.
But do you think even Alex Cora really thinks that if they don't add any pieces to the bullpen, that they're going to be fine?
No.
Can't.
No, he can't say that. But yeah. I don't believe. I think he knows. Look, he's not stupid. He's been around the game his whole life.
Right.
Literally his whole life.
Right.
He knows exactly what he's dealing with here. And you know, they keep saying, you know, we'll get better. No, don't you worry. I mean, guys say it. Chris Sale said it coming out of the All-Star break. You know, we've got to do this together. And then he went out and barely made it through five.
Didn't do so hot. But they, I think just last year, having Craig Kimbrell in the regular season made Cora's job that much easier. Now, the starters were also really good, and that helps. That's different, right? That they haven't been as consistent this year. But knowing that, all right, we really got to figure out after the starter, say the starter goes six, we got to figure out the seventh and the eighth, and then we go from there. And now it is, more often than not, the starter is going five, and then you have to figure out the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, ninth,
and the 11th, and
or
the 12th.
Or as it turns out, the 12th, and here comes your long guy, and you know, no surprise, he can't get it done.
By the way, throwing on his third straight day, which he shouldn't be doing.
Right.
They didn't, and this is where I'll give Dave Dombrowski the blame here. You didn't have to put Kastner on the roster last night. They did.
Yeah.
And they didn't put a reliever on. He wasn't going to throw last night.
Yeah, why not add a reliever there?
Add another reliever.
Steven Wright's out. You know, he's on the
IL. He's on IL. So you put Kastner in his place. Why would you do that? You don't need him yet.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. And then, so sort of a double whammy. He's like, you don't have that guy. You have a sort of a waste of a spot. And then LA's starter goes longer than David Price does. So they don't have to go into their bullpen as early. They get two extra innings out of their starter. And then the next thing you know, you're like, all right, here comes the long guy. And you're like, nope, not good enough. So it is just frustrating. And I don't know how much more evidence you need to see. Now, they haven't not traded for a bullpen arm yet. They have two more weeks or whatever it is till the trade deadline, so they can still do that. But if they think that they're going to get one of those wild card spots and then do anything in the playoffs, their bullpen can't simply be Barnes, Workman, Evaldi, Brazier. Like, it can't be. Like, you got to add somebody else.
And the whole Evaldi thing, now, first of all, he's a very highly paid closer, if that's what they end up doing with him.
And that's
what
it appears. Isn't it? Or second highest paid?
A lot more than the guy you let go is getting.
Yes, $17 million. You did not give him that contract to close. Not even close. And now he's going to be closing. What do you make? Four starts, goes on the DL, now he's your closer? That reeks of...
He's had two elbow procedures.
Right. And he's been hurt his whole career.
And yet you're going to ask him to throw three out of 4 days or two in a row. I know what he did in the playoffs last year. It was heroic. It was unbelievable.
That was awesome. But that may also have led to some of these issues. Not that he didn't have issues before, but he had loose bodies in his elbow is what they called it. What is that for a pitcher? You got just stuff jumping around in your elbow?
It's way before your time. But remember when, who was it? It was Hobson, Butch Hobson. Would have to readjust the elbow chips in his elbow before he'd bat.
That's disgusting.
He would be standing at the plate.
Hold on a sec.
And he'd be, hold on, I got to get this piece out of there. Let me. Okay, all right, go ahead.
Yep, now I can bend my arm.
Hit me with your best shot.
Is that what Evaldi's going to do in between pitches?
Standing
actually,
on
that'd
the
be
mound.
Pretty intimidating, though. I mean, if you were a hitter and Evaldi steps off and it's like popping his elbow back into place and like moving stuff around.
Imagine if you could see the lumps in his elbow.
Oh,
too.
What's up with this guy?
Oh, sorry. Hold on. Give me a second here. Let me just. Okay, that's better.
Shift this down to my forearm real quick.
It's like he's using a foreign substance. Like, no, it's just his elbow. Like, that's just all that stuff is in there. What do you want him to do? But yeah, so now he's going to pitch back to back days. He might have to pitch more than three outs occasionally. He might have to do all this different stuff. So you look at it, and either they're admitting that they screwed up the bullpen, which I guess is what they're doing, right? But they didn't address the bullpen, so they're moving their starter there. Or they're admitting what? That they don't think Evaldi can be a starter? They just signed him to a 4-year deal with the expectation that he was going to be probably your number four starter this year. And then when Porcello moves on, he's going to be your number three starter. And now he's your closer. And what's crazy is last week, guys like Dave Dombrowski talking about how confident, and Tony La Russa, who was on this show, talking about how confident they are in Eovaldi pitching out of the pen. He's done it like a handful of times in his career. Yeah. And the one we all remember was essentially a start. Like, it was just in the middle of the game, right? Or there was an extra innings, and he threw a million innings against the Dodgers. That wasn't like he went in there to close. That wasn't like, hey, you got to get these final three outs. I know he throws the ball 100 miles an hour, or at least he used to. Like, we'll see if he still does. So maybe he has the stuff for it, but isn't, like, the mental makeup maybe the most important thing for a closer?
Now, we already said that, you know, if you're Alex Cora, what else are you going to say? We'll be fine. We'll be okay. We'll get it together. You say all that stuff, even if you don't necessarily believe it.
Right.
He has a team that is 21-24 at Fenway.
At home. Unbelievable. It really is.
You are three games below 500 on your home field. And I listened to the very astute ESPN broadcast team last night.
Out in the monster, though.
I know.
They had to sit out the monster. You see J-Lo.
J-Lo right over. J-Lo. Right over. Holy smokes. Right over Alex's shoulder going, no. Put the phone down.
You know, I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. I love the A-Rod J-Lo couple.
Do you?
I absolutely love them as a couple. Because I was never one of these. I never hated A-Rod like a lot of people did. Because I didn't even think the Yankees liked A-Rod.
No.
So it was like a weird thing. Like, even they didn't
really
want him.
Because they didn't like him, you kind of like him.
So I was like, you know what? Fine. I'm gonna stick up for this guy. But yeah, J-Lo's there. Yeah, that broadcast team is...
Well...
What would you rather listen to? The old Monday Night Football team or the Sunday Night Baseball team?
How old?
No. But this past year with Jason Witten when he was there.
I'd rather listen to those guys last
year. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, Tessitore Witten was worse.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is why Witten's now going to be a tight end in the National Football League.
It had nothing to do with that.
But I did hear them say last night about, you know, how great the Red Sox are at Fenway Park and, you know, how it's an intimidating place to play. And A-Rod talked about going in there and the crowd and how hard it was to play and all of that stuff. They're 21-24 on their home field.
That is amazing, because usually they haven't figured out where they are really good there. Not that, you know, home field necessarily is so important in baseball, but the Red Sox at Fenway Park, they have a long history of being dominant there in teams. Because you think about it, you know, some of the outfielders come in there, they're not used to playing that right field, so you're good for a screw-up. Or they're not used to playing the wall and left, and there's a screw-up. Or, the nonsense in center field. But no, they have not been good at home. And it still comes back to the pitching. Like, it really does. Like, it's the starters have been a disappointment. And I can't even say that the bullpen's been a disappointment. This is kind of what
it's
expected.
It's what they are.
It's what they, exactly. Outside of, what was it, the first week or two of the season? You remember when everybody else was struggling, but the bullpen was actually good? Well, now that has gone back the other way. Because, Dale, who has scored as a team more runs in the American League than the Red Sox? Who has scored more runs?
Twins?
Nobody.
No?
They've scored the same number of runs as the Twins.
Okay, so I was guessing the
trick
Twins.
Trick question!
First day you're doing this?
So them and the Twins have both scored 523 runs. So it doesn't really matter how many, but they're the number one scoring team in the American League. But they're giving up so many runs, and they have that crazy stat, I don't know what the updated number is now, about games that they have lost after having the lead late in the game. Like, they can have like a one-run lead in the seventh, not safe.
Yeah,
you know, they could be winning. They could, you know, even last night, you know, they fought back and then they get into extra innings. Not happening. Not good enough. So it's just been a wildly disappointing season. However, 2.5 games out of the wild card spot, I'm not ready to give up. Like, I know they're giving us all these reasons to give up, but being 2.5 out of a wild card spot, I don't think you can just punt it away yet.
I don't think they shouldn't punt it away. I'm not punting it away. I'm just saying I haven't seen any indication that this is going to get fixed anytime soon.
No. That's probably fair, too.
And back to Rob Bradford's point, if Chris Sale isn't Chris Sale, I'm not sure anything else matters.
Yeah, well, I mean, because if he's not, that's one thing that could sort of, you know, separate you from some of those teams. Like, maybe not going to separate you from New York or Houston. Like, those are really, really good teams. But some of those wild card teams that you're competing with, which, by the way, you're spending so much more money than, like, Tampa and Oakland, for God's sakes. If you added those two together, it's probably less than the Red Sox.
All right, let's get to the call. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how are you? Hey, how does it feel to be one of the top two shows on WEEI Sports? Gotta love it. Hey,
we're one of the top five or six. Yeah. I don't know if I got two.
We're in the mix, Eddie. Yeah. We're in the mix.
Listen, you guys are stars in my eyes. Cora, last night, what's he looking for, a big inning in the 11th there? All we got to do is get one run. You get Bradley on second. Why in the world doesn't he have the guy up, the ninth hitter on the team? Why doesn't he bunt him over the third? And then you bring up Betts to come in, and you hit the long fly, and you win the game and walk away.
I understand what you're saying, and I'm not even disagreeing, but in effect, that's what happened. He hit into the fielder's choice. Hernandez grounded into the fielder's choice, and Bradley, either way. I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, I guess the question here is, should Bradley have been running?
Well, I think if you know for sure you're looking at a sacrifice, then Bradley takes off as soon as the sacrifice is down. That didn't happen. And instead, he's got the number nine up there swinging away. Why are you doing that? You've got Mookie Betts sitting there with the bat on his shoulder. This game, this is what's happened. Last year, the Red Sox would win a lot of these games in spite of some mistakes and in spite of some shortcomings. This year, Cora just coughed in this game last night. I'm sorry. In the game.
I'm not necessarily. I'm sorry. You don't have to apologize. Yeah. And I don't generally necessarily agree with you need to bunt more crowd, but there was a situation staring you in the face where it would have made all the sense in the world, where you've got a runner on second and nobody out, bunt him over to third. It is the bottom of the 11th inning. It's not the bottom of the sixth.
Right.
It is one of those, and I don't necessarily think there are a lot of examples where the bunting game makes a lot of sense in this day and age in baseball, but that was one of them.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you're thrilled that Jackie Bradley is even able to get a double. Like, I didn't anticipate that. And then at that point,
but
you move him over.
The whole base running thing. And
I mean.
You don't go.
Brutal. Just brutal. But that should be, I would love to know what the numbers are. If in extra innings, the home team gets a leadoff double, how many times do you win? It's got to be an insanely high number. I mean, especially if you have a smart, competent team, you can get that run home.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We are back together again. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
Now, back to the best.
Don't just wake up one day and become the best.
And confident.
You need to be confident in yourself, Dale. That's what you would have to be.
It's Dale and Keefe on Boston Sports Station WEEI.
Red Sox debut on Tuesday, Rodriguez and Sale in that series. Chopped to short, Bradley heads for third, throw to third, and he's a dead duck. He had to hesitate to avoid being hit by the chopper, and that made it easy for Seager to decide to throw to third.
You just can't.
No, that was awful.
I mean, and McDonough put it exactly right. He actually had to wait so he didn't get hit by the batted ball.
He hesitated like that, and what do you think, he can't make the throw to third? Like
from there to there?
He can get it there. He sees it all right in front of him. And so that was bad. I mean, you have a leadoff double in the bottom of the 11th.
ESPN put up a stat at the time that with the leadoff double in the bottom of the 11th, the Red Sox had an 81% chance of winning the game.
Okay, so I was wondering what it was. So 81%.
Yeah.
Feels like it could be even higher, but fine. No, and they coughed that one away. So that was really frustrating.
And I do agree with the previous caller. A lot of that one's on Alex.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree a lot with the, you need to bunt more crowd, but there was a glaring example of the exact time that it's made for.
Right. You kind of luck into a Jackie Bradley double.
It's not
double.
Like you got Mookie Betts at the plate or J.D. Martinez.
You had Hernandez at the plate and then Betts. So if you have Betts on with...
You got Bradley on third with one out.
They probably walk Betts, right? Probably what they would
do. Which is what they did anyway.
But okay, great. So now it's first and third, and now Devers is up. I'll take my chances, with one out. Devers, he's going to run into a fly ball or just even a base hit, and the game's over. But they screwed that one up, and then obviously you have Velasquez on the mound, and then that thing was over. So they dropped two out of three. The home struggles continue, and this team just seems that they can't get out of their own way this year.
Buy or sell?
So this may I am down on the team right now, but I'm buying because they're 2.5 out of a wild card spot. I really do feel like the baseball playoffs are a crapshoot. Like you get in there, all of a sudden What if David Price and Chris Sale pitch well? The offense, I think, is good enough. And now you have that combination.
And you do have the Price example from last year, a guy who's, whose playoff record was sketchy at best throughout his career. All of a sudden last year, it's like, whoa, where was this guy?
And now, again, I don't know if lightning can strike twice, but you saw how, you know, all of a sudden Rick Porcello's pitching out of the pen a little bit and kind of pitching well, and then, you know, moving Rivaldi around and guys like that. So I think so much of it is, if they can win games where they have the lead in the 7th, 8th, and 9th, and they can consistently win those, they don't have to pitch guys as much. Maybe even guys like Matt Barnes become a little bit better because you have another established reliever in there. And even if, obviously the plan is for Eovaldi to be there, but add somebody else on top of it. So as bad as they've looked and as frustrating
Velasquez
as they've been,
wouldn't have had to pitch.
Get out of there. I'm buying. Are you buying?
I'm iffy right now. If this current rate of play continues, I'm selling. And the first guy I'd sell is Mookie Betts.
Oh, boy. But that's what you would have to do. If you choose sell, you can't sell off, what, Porcello?
Hector Velasquez or something.
Like any of these guys? Like, I mean, I think Porcello would be a guy that would get traded because his contract's up anyway.
Yep.
So he'd be gone. But that doesn't really seem like a major sell. Like, he hasn't really been a bright point for your team. What you could actually get in return would be for Mookie Betts. Now, let me ask you this. Before you trade Mookie Betts in this scenario of selling, would you first find out one last time if you would sign an extension?
Sure.
And so if he does, then you would take
it? But I also don't think he will.
Neither do I.
And I know I'm cross-pollinating my sports here.
Yeah, go ahead.
If I'm Don Sweeney and I take a real run at trying to figure out what it's going to take to keep Krug here after this coming year, and I go, I can't pay that.
Oh, yeah.
Then I'd wheel him out this offseason.
No, I think you're right.
I like him and want to keep him.
Sure. You can't keep everybody.
But I don't know if I can afford him. In Mookie Betts' case, I want him. He's exactly what I want from my organization. If I'm John Henry, that's what I want you to go get.
Yeah.
But if I ultimately decide I just can't pay this guy what he wants, you got to wheel him.
Do you think you would get as much for him as, like, going into the year, what we thought? Because going into the year, he's coming off the MVP season.
I know that he's not having as good a year, obviously.
He's still a huge
upside here. He is one of the faces of the game.
And a contending team should give up a lot for him and think that he would put them over the top.
Would Red Sox fans accept a sell?
I don't think so. The year after winning the World Series,
what do they do? I mean, how does that play out if they don't accept it?
Well, because what's really
they vote with their feet. They've already bought tickets for you know most of the season.
I know, but what's really tough about that too is if you move on from Mookie Betts, in all likelihood, you're just getting a bunch of prospects who won't be ready.
You won't even see them here.
You can't like latch on to a guy and be like, oh, here's this guy. Like, here's who they have. Like, Kyrie Irving's gone. Kemba Walker's here. That's easy to wrap your head around. You got Kemba Walker. I know it wasn't a trade, but that's what you have now. Whereas Mookie Betts goes, you got to go look at, you know, Baseball America's top prospects list and be like, we have this guy who I've never seen play, and hopefully in 2 years
he'll be ready to go. Let's go to Lowell and watch that guy play.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be ready to go.
Let's make a road trip to Portland, honey.
That's what you're going to have to do.
617-779-7937. I think another professional athlete has fallen victim to the allure of social media.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just going to say this now, Jacoby. Come back to us.
What, you don't like it?
We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. Daily Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.